This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Today, Mary Linton, who was a wetland biologist and a poet, and Mary Oliver, was a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet. I'll first read Mary Linton's essay about leeches that I found on the website of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and then I'll read a poem by Mary Oliver. The following are some excerpts about Mary Linton from the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and that's wisconsinwetlands.org. Mary was a wetland scientist, aquatic ecologist, educator, and published poet. Born in 1954, she grew up on a farm near Midland, Michigan, loving science and literature. She had a host of degrees and professorships in her home state of Michigan and in Indiana. And when she moved to Wisconsin, she was an assistant professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater from 2002 to 2007. In 2007, she became an ecological and wetland consultant as Snapping Linton Ecology, assisting with wetland projects in southern Wisconsin. She was a certified ecologist with the Ecological Society of America and a member of the Society of Wetland Scientists. Linton was a board member of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association from 2005 to 2012. She served as board chair from 08 to 12, leading the statewide wetland organization during a pivotal transition to wider membership and influence. Linton specialized in the life history and biology of salamanders and the ecology of ephemeral ponds, an overlooked but biologically rich wetland type important to the life cycles of amphibians. She surveyed Blanding's turtles, a Wisconsin special concern species, in Middleton's Pheasant Branch Conservancy and in Delavan, Wisconsin. As an educator, she inspired young people to explore wetland ecology and the interrelationships of ephemeral ponds, salamanders, frogs, turtles, and woodlands. From salamanders to dragonflies, her interests were as rich as the landscapes she studied. Her work as a poet included hundreds of poems. Using nature and wetlands in her poetry, she spoke to our connections to the natural world and often used humor to engage the reader. She taught poetry workshops outdoors, bringing people into the habitats that affirmed her. Her legacy includes her love of science and poetry, curiosity, quick wit, and generous smile. And here is her essay on leeches. Why I Love Leeches. When I told friends I wanted to write about leeches, I got the leeches, oh, ick, response from most. Then the underappreciated leech became my topic for certain. When you have a love, you know that everyone else should love them too. Almost all leeches live in fresh water and are found in wetlands. Leeches are segmented worms, meaning they're assembled like a Lego organism, a series of compartments, segments, that are similar and stuck together in a line. It's an efficient construction method. We can see it in our own vertebrae. Leeches have two suckers, a front one that surrounds the mouth and a hind one used when moving or attaching. Although some leeches can swim in a beautiful undulating fashion, most leeches use their suckers to move in a loopy walk similar to that of the inchworm. Sexually, leeches are hermaphrodites and possess functional egg and sperm-producing organs. Mating leeches generally twine around each other so that you can hardly tell where one starts and the other ends. Then they exchange sperm. Fertilized eggs are buried in the sediments until they hatch into juvenile leeches that need 3 to 5 meals before they become adults and start the whole process over. All leeches are fluid feeders, but not all are bloodsuckers, sanguivores. Many leeches are small predators that live in the sediments and feed on whole critters that are even smaller. The prey of these leeches might be small fly larvae like noceums and gnats, tiny crustaceans, and filter feeders that look like wee clams. Even though small predaceous leeches eat whole organisms, they still qualify as fluid feeders because they quickly suck out the juice and upchuck or defecate the crunchy bits. Other larger predaceous leeches have tubular mouthparts that they use to pierce larger prey, insect larvae, aquatic earthworms, other leeches, snails, and suck out the fluids. In fact, leeches are probably the most numerous predators in wetlands and are commonly scooped up in dip nets. Otherwise, humans hardly notice hard-working leech predators. Much human notice is given to leeches that consume blood, however. I have noticed them myself when they attach to my shins. Some blood-sucking leeches find places where their prey's skin is already broken for easy feeding. Others use special teeth or enzymes to break the skin. Blood-sucking leeches produce an anticoagulant, often hirudin, that keeps the blood flowing. Humans use hirudin medicinally as a blood thinner. The most common bloodsucker in America will suck only a fraction of an ounce of blood in a feeding. Leech sanguivores feed on fish, amphibians, turtles, waterfowl, aquatic mammals, and the occasional water-loving humans. When I am out in a wetland, I avoid becoming leech prey by wearing boots. Unlike mosquitoes, blood-sucking leeches are not known to spread human disease. To digest blood, a leech needs symbiotic gut bacteria. Their gut bacterial colony can take more than a year to digest a blood meal and keeps its food fresh by vigorously defending it from all other microbes, thus rendering the leech's gut and feeding apparatus pretty sterile. The leech bite might still itch due to a reaction to their anticoagulant, and the bite might get infected from some microbe in the environment, the water, beach, or bait box. Lots of organisms love to feed on leeches, walleye and salmon among them. Salamanders, snakes, birds, dragonfly, and Dobson fly larvae, predaceous diving beetles, and giant water bugs all enjoy a leech dinner. Okay, I admit I have not mentioned some of the leech's sketchier behaviors. It can make a pig of itself in fish hatcheries, and gangs of leeches might attack and kill an amphibian or young turtle. But even cute cross-eyed planaria have been known to beat up on amphibian larvae. I praise the leech for its work as a predator. It's often beautiful coloring, its place as prey for many critters I also love. I even praise its interesting clean bite. I praise its willingness to safely hang down from my calloused palm and then fold and unfold like a yo-yo. Can leeches get a little respect here? And that's her essay on leeches, Mary Linton. I'll add here one of her poems that I found on the Wisconsin Wetlands website. Of Wading in Wetlands. I wade knee-deep in spring's watery soup, loop of duckweed root, loose muck, turtles sunning on uncertain terrain of muskrat path, canary grass, mounds of tussock sedge, boot toe catches an edge of surprise, the sudden whinny of wading birds or hydroplaning ducks. It is work to stay upright, distracted as I am. I grab one stem of dogwood by one hand, just a finger and thumb, one slender wand sleeved with tender tongues of leaves. There is no salvation here, no staunch staff to take my weight, simply a red-barked branch as centering point that's worked so far. And that's her poem of Wading in Wetlands. And now on to Mary Oliver. I have many friends who've been telling me I need to read Mary Oliver's poetry, and I understand now why they love her so. I previously read her poem called The Hermit Crab at the end of an essay by Lauren Isley called The Innocent Fox. You can find all of my readings archived at the WDRT.org website located under Archive Podcasts, Natural Wonders. Many of you know and love Mary Oliver's poetry and essays. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, born in 1935 and died in 2019. And from Wiki, Oliver's poetry is grounded in memories of Ohio and her adopted home of New England. Provincetown is the principal setting of her work after she moved there in the 1960s. Influenced by both Whitman and Thoreau, she's known for her clear and poignant observations of the natural world. And in choosing this one, The Summer Day, we can think about the warmth of the summer sun on these cold January days. And now, Mary Oliver's The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan, the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. And that's The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. And I can't help but read one more. It Was Early is the title of this one. This is Mary Oliver. It was early, which has always been my hour to begin looking at the world, and of course, even in the darkness, to begin listening to it, especially under the pines, where the owl lives, and sometimes calls out as I walk by, as he did on this morning. So many gifts. What do they mean? In the marshes where the pink light was just arriving, the mink with his bristled tail was stalking the soft-eared mice. And in the pines, the cones were heavy, each one ordained to open. Sometimes I need only to stand wherever I am to be blessed. Little mink, let me watch you. Little mice, run and run. Dear pine cone, let me hold you as you open. And that's Mary Oliver's poem, It Was Early. Oh, it's so hard to stop. One more. Wild Geese. Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. And that's Mary Oliver, and I will stop now. Thanks to my friends who have encouraged me to read poetry. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.